been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Judeans who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit, deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Judeans said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Gospel of the Lord. The raising of Lazarus, the banquet of the Lord, the new heaven and new earth. Our scripture readings this morning are filled with powerful images, ones that fire the imagination, that paint a picture of the reign of God, that same reign we pray each week would come on earth in the same way that it is in heaven. The one that Martin Luther reminds us means that when we are praying that, we pray that it would come in and through us and our words and our actions. Isaiah has a clear vision of what the reign of God will look like, of how it will be, how it is, how it should be. That vision is one of a God who hosts everybody, all peoples, without discrimination or division. Ukrainians and Russians, Americans and Chinese, Israelis and Palestinians, who calls them all to a meal of rich food and well-aged wines. A table with enough for all to eat and room enough for everyone. It's a vision of God swallowing up death so that it is no more, destroying the mourning veil that spreads over all peoples, freeing them from hunger and fear and want from this point on and forevermore. It's a powerful image. The reign of God filled with such abundance that there is more than enough for everyone to share. And all eat and are satisfied. And who'd be willing to bet against me that there would be plenty left over? 12 baskets full. The reign of God is so abundant that everyone is welcome. Regardless of social class, wealth, poverty, regardless of nationality, sexuality, or anything else that we divide ourselves by. Because God's love does not discriminate or put conditions on it. This reign of God is about inclusion, not exclusion, about unity, not division. The Apostle John's revelation shows him an image of the reign of God that emphasizes how different it is from the reign of this world. One, John describes using the language of a new heaven and a new earth. The reign of God is a place where death, mourning, crying, and pain, these intractable fixtures of the reign of this world, will be no more. There will be no more injury, no more hurt. Physical, mental, emotional. There will be no more disease, no more sorrow, because God has come to us. God is with us, Emmanuel. God is not separate from us in our lives, but intimately connected to them. Because the relationship of creation to its creator will be reconciled, brought into alignment with one another. And all of this is the reign of God that Mark proclaims with us has come near in Jesus. Now you would be excused if you were to look at these images and scoff. Right. Because in this world that is being driven towards scarcity due to our management both of ourselves and creation, these images seem kind of ridiculous, don't they? To believe in such things would be to live in a fantasy that does not reflect the real world. But that's not true, is it? We as followers of Jesus know all too well the reality of sin and death and disease. And unlike most of the practices of this world, we as followers of Jesus look it right in the eye and call it what it is. We do not flinch from it. That's why we hold a funeral, not a celebration of life. That's why someone is dead. They didn't pass away. We don't smooth out the rough edges of death with our words, hoping that they won't cut as deep. Instead, we name it. We name what it does. It tears at the fabric of what is so important to us as human beings, the intimate relationships of family, the larger relationships of community. Because we know that every relationship is about more than the two people who are involved in it. I was lucky enough to preside at my first wedding in almost 4 years on Tuesday. It was a small affair with an older bride and groom, Anna Garnett and Seth Todd. What's important about the wedding is not the production. It's the acknowledgement by the couple that their relationship is not just about them, that their families and the wider community are invested in them and the success of that relationship, that their relationship affects more than just the two of them. And so they enter into this relationship publicly, knowing that there are more than just the two of them striving to make it work. Death strikes at these familial and community bonds. Now, it might strike us differently depending on when it comes, doesn't it? I have a colleague who had a 103-year-old member who entered into hospice this week. And this member wondered at one point to her in a recent conversation, "I wonder when God's going to make room for me at the table." Here is someone who is the definition of the hymn when we sing, "For all the saints who from their labors rest." Whose death will bring sorrow at the rupture of this relationship, the absence of their personality and spirit, but it is a different thing than when someone is younger or when death comes out of nowhere. It's an apt image, isn't it, that death swallows up people and relationships. It tears and rends the heart, and we grieve and we hurt and we miss them months, weeks, years later. And that's okay. It shows the depth of our love for them. But we do not mourn as others do. We don't have to try and ignore it or clothe it in terms so it doesn't look as ugly as it is. We can look at the awfulness of death and we name it for what it is and what it does. Because All Saints is not just to remember those from long ago, or those whose deaths are still painfully near, and it's not just to point ahead to the ultimate promise of resurrection, which is a balm to us, but it is not a cure-all for our mourning. This day is about what all God's saints have known and experienced throughout time. That here and now, today, there is no death or grief or fear so deep and dark that the voice of Jesus cannot reach down into it and call us out and bring life. That through the waters of baptism, the Word of God has called us each by name out of the tomb already. Joyce, come out. Henry, come out. Rick, come out. And we know the truth of that promise. One that exists in what the Celtic Christians called the thin places of this world, where the reign of God and the reign of and this world kind of brush up against each other, and we can see both. This, right now at this moment, is the reign of God being enacted in this world. At 8:27 a.m. on November 3rd, 2024. This is where we practice that reign. It's a place where all are welcome, regardless of those silly things we use to divide ourselves. It's a place where there is a table, where there is always room for one more, and where there's always enough to eat and drink. It's a place where ruptured relationships are mended, where forgiveness is given, where death and disease and their consequences are acknowledged, but also where we know they are defeated. Because we assemble each week with those saints who are the great cloud of witnesses who surround us, who eat this meal with us, and who are a part of us, now and always. And this is why, once a year, we take time and speak truth that exists always. I've talked about this before. Go out into those country churches. And what's out the back wall? What's right behind the back wall? Cemetery. And they are placed in that cemetery with their feet pointing towards the altar. So that on that great getting up day, what's at the center of the assembly? The table. So we imagine when we gather, that's the part of the reason why I like the Brechonic curve. We imagine when we gather all those saints who have gone before us surrounding the table. The table is not in front of you. The table is in the center of us. Because we believe this truth. A reading from Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Friends, in joyful expectation of the resurrection to eternal life, we remember this day all those who have gone before us in faith and who now rest from their labors, especially those family members and friends who are dear to us and who have died since last All Saints Day. Rick Marlowe, Ida May Hart, Joyce Group, Henry Elton. We also remember these family members and friends. Jean Littlesworth, Jim Littlesworth, Raymond Disley, David Peden, Gene Wagner, Ron Golden, Renelda Deeper, Tim Polk,
Joanne Wall, Doug Fortes, Mary Alice Fortes, Phyllis Chapman, Jody Burns, and Cheryl Kramer. And we remember those who we name now, allow or in the silence of our hearts. Let us pray. God, in Pilgrim's Way, we give thanks for those in generations past, known and unknown, who have been examples for us of God's love at work in the world. His faithfulness has given us a strong foundation in the ministry in Ely and the surrounding community. As we pray, we know that we are surrounded by this great rejoicing cloud of witnesses, including all those who have died in the past year. Keep us in union with all your saints, and bring us with them to the joyous feast of heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The church for ages has used candles as a way to visually display the truth that those who died in faith continue to be with us. And so as we sing our hymn of the day, I will invite you, if you wish, to come forward and light a candle, place it into one of the trays as a reminder of one of those saints that you remember this day. A little bit about the mechanics of this. I invite you to take a light from a candle that is already in the tray. Just remember, the unlighted candle goes over the lit candle. And then you can just place it into the sand. You can remain seated as we sing our hymn. Come forward as you wish, as we remember all those who have died. And we sing.
Thank you. O God of resurrection, you call us by name and raise us to life. Rouse your church from slumber, where we have been held back by fear or shame, unbind us. Where we are timid in sharing the good news of Jesus that your reign has drawn near, call us out into this world to declare your love for all in it. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God of creation, you have founded your world in rivers and seas, and waters essential for life. Preserve fresh water sources and creatures call them home. Heal places of pollution, water places of drought. Bring healing places that have gotten too much rain. Those in the mountains of North Carolina and Tennessee from Hurricane Helene and eastern Spain. Make us ever more aware of how our lives affect the world around us. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God of the earth, you reign over all nations and peoples. Inspire us with wisdom and discernment as we elect legislators and leaders on Tuesday. May those elected govern with wisdom and justice. Fill us with your peace. And a reminder that our hope lies not in earthly leaders or power, but in your love come to us in your Son. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God of heaven, you make your home among mortals. Come alongside those who weep this day. Befriend all who are lonely. Encourage those in despair and heal any who are suffering in mind, body, or spirit. Especially we pray for Marilyn, Cindy, Eileen, Linda, Nancy, Mike, Patty, Shunji, Randy, Karen, Ed, Judy, Amber, Cindy, Eileen, Mark, David, Marius, Pearl, Shayla, Tom, Paul, Katie, Sam, Wendy, Preston, Ian, Gary, Katrina, Tammy, Laura, Vic, Karen, Rachel, Morris, and Eunice. Abide with your faithful ones in love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God of abundance, you set before us a feast of rich food. Sustain our ministries of fellowship and hospitality to all. Strengthen the hands and hearts of all who prepare and serve food for our nourishment. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us turn and share that peace with those who are joining us today, and then I invite you to share that peace with one another. As our piecing begins to come to an end, a reminder that this is a moment to remind you that you can, if you have an offering to bring for the mission and ministry of St. John today, you can leave that in the gold plate through the center doors. You can also always make an offering online at our website, stjohnhealy.org. We give thanks to God for a table where there is always enough and more than enough, and where there is always room for one more sinner. So as we give thanks for this gift of Christ's own body and blood given freely to all of us, I invite us to stand and sing this hymn of praise to God for who God is.
Thank you.
shared your abundant blessings. Number us among them, that as we gather these gifts from your abundance and give thanks for your rich blessings, we may feast upon your very self and care for all that you have made through Jesus Christ, our sovereign and servant. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the witness of your saints, you show us the hope of our calling and strengthen us to run the race set before us, that we may delight in your mercy and rejoice with them in glory. And so, with all the saints, with the choirs of angels, with the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all the drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord. Unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom. Teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Christ, spread the table before you. Come. Let us eat with the saints. Once you be seated, I'll invite the communion assistants forward. Communion will be as normal, so you'll start at the back, come down the center aisles if you wish to receive handout, body of Christ given to you and then eat. You'll step to the side you're seated on. In the trays, bread is wine, water is grapefruit, so you'll take the cup and drink. As you go back, please go back by the side aisles and place the cups into the white baskets. That helps us to do the dishes. All are welcome at the table. Come.
Thank you.
friendship.
Amen.
Right.
So be able to finish the basement too?
It's free.
Okay, so everyone would be in the downstairs.
So they were kind of
downstairs. But ours will walk.
Yeah, and she broke it up.
Thank you guys.
Considering what the morning was like. Yeah.
I was trying.
I figured out what was happening.
And sorry, I missed it by a little bit. So I think that was the only one, though, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that. When in doubt, it's the folks in the room.
I know. I was hoping to be able to get to Zoom so it just show in on that part. And it was the camera wasn't moving when I was trying to get to Zoom.
Yeah.
It didn't move. And I'm like, and I noticed a few times it was spinning again during the Zoom.